Welcome back. Tiff Davey here, today's host on the Behind the Collective podcast. We wanted to take an opportunity to thank Stud Marina Breeders Association of WA for their ongoing support of the Livestock Collective. As a not-for-profit, it means a lot as we rely on the support from organisations like them to do what we do. We caught up with Bella between camp draft runs. She's a vet nurse, now university lecturer at Charles Darwin University in the Northern Territory. Like many, she headed up north for a gap year and is still there. So if that's something you were considering, then this episode's for you.
Okay, so my name is Bella. We're at the Catherine Show at the moment. I've been here camp drafting with my family. And on paper, I am a lecturer at Charles Darwin Uni, but I like to say I wear many hats, probably too many sometimes. So yeah, I do a bit of vet nursing, ride my horses, and then yeah, do Cert 2s and 3s in Ag for CDU, and just started doing Cert 2 in Animal Care actually.
Where are you from initially? Because I don't believe you're from Catherine.
No. So I'm from between Bridgetown and Borat Brook in WA, where it's really, really cold. I moved up here at the end of 2019, and I haven't been home since. So I was one of those, oh, I'm going for a gap year, but my gap year's turned into, what's that, 5-6 years now.
And so it's quite common though, isn't it? People come up and get the bug. Can you explain, like, why? What is it about the territory you love?
I don't know. It's, you can't really explain it. I feel like you either, you've got to be a certain, certain type of person. I definitely agree that it filters out people that just kind of come up here for a year. But if you're that kind of group, you just get stuck to it. I think it's just, it's the area. Like, I love the landscape and I love the work we do, but also it's the people too. Like, it's such amazing people. Like, everyone is here to do what they want to do and what they love, but it's also like, yeah, you just, like, it's really hard to explain.
Yeah, I like that though. Like, you come up here with a purpose. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, it's not actually, there's not a lot of locals really. No. Particularly within the ag industry, so you're coming up knowing what you want to do. So what was your first role when you came up here?
So I worked at Argyle Down Station in Kununurra. That was my first role. So that was, I'd done my vet nursing in WA and then worked for Valley Equine Vets as an all equine nurse for a while. And then, yeah, Argyle was my first job up here as a station hand.
Talk us through that process, as we know we get a lot of people reaching out wondering how to pursue a career in ag. And how did you get your job?
How did I get my job actually? I applied through CPC, through their, like, they do an intake every, I think it's September, October now. And a lot of places do that, like CPC, like those bigger companies do, like, an intake the year, like, for, like, you'll do October, September for the next year. So I remember I did that and I put a few places down as preference, and I got Argyle. And so I was super chuffed about that. But yeah, that's kind of how I did it. I know a lot of people have kind of just, like, done, like, via Facebook ads, but that's kind of now. But yeah, 5 or 6 years ago it was more kind of like applying directly to places, and that still is apparent, I think. But I think now that Facebook and social media has taken up a lot more, there's a lot more avenues to, like, just, like, privately kind of putting yourself out there to get jobs instead of, like, actually directly applying. But I think it's, like, works both ways depending on where you want to go.
And you're a lecturer now, one of the many hats. So talk us through, how did you get to that point? Because it's really cool. And what does that actually mean? What do you do?
So there's a few of us. I don't even know how to explain the role sometimes. So I did a few years ringing, and then wet seasons was vet nursing in town. Kind of hit a bit of a wall in 2023, where I just was like, I love vet nursing, I love station life, I just couldn't really get a balance. And yeah, I was like, I don't want to be in town full time, but I don't really want to be out of town full time. So I was kind of struggling with, like, where do I go, what do I do? Just, like, kind of started looking at different options. I was working out on a place on the Sturt Plateau at the time. I just broke up with my boyfriend, and I was like, right, I need something. I need something totally
how all good adventures
different.
Start.
Yeah, literally.
So if anyone's listening, whatever, a breakup doesn't have to be the end of everything. It can sometimes be the beginning of something new.
Oh, it was honestly, and, like, now I look back on it in, like, hindsight, is beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, was like the best thing that happened because it set me on that path, yeah, of being able to do this. So I actually originally applied for a tech officer role. So that was more going to be hands-on on the farm. like doing the cattle, doing the horses. We've got a horse plant out at the rural college, and we've got breeders, and so commercial cattle and stud cattle. Mm. And so I applied for that, and Tegan, my boss, when she interviewed me, she was like, "We think you'd be a perfect candidate for a lecturer role. How would you like to apply for this instead?" Mm. And I was like, "Oh, I don't have the experience for that. I can't do that." And it kind of like felt like a bit of imposter syndrome to start with. I was like, "There's no way I can do that." And then she's like, "No, we think you'd be amazing. Give it a go." So I was like, "Well, I've literally got nothing to lose." I was like, "I'll apply and do it." And I got the job, which was really cool. Did my Cert 4 in training and assessing. So you've got to do that to be like TAFE teacher, basically, is kind of what it's equivalent to. And yeah, then went into that, and I did the West last year. So we kind of break it up into runs. It's the West, the Buntine, top and bottom, a couple of Barclay runs, and a centre run. So that's like down to Newcastle and down to Tennant, that kind of way. And
so why are you on those runs? So you're travelling out to the stations?
Yep.
Lecturing? So this is where it's different.
Yep.
You say lecturer.
Lecturer.
I envision someone in a, you know, coat up the front of a lecture hall, but no, that's not what you do.
It's not it. So we do have that, not with a coat, but we do have that stand at the front of the classroom kind of thing, but we're split into two kind of groups. So there's the Ag Rural Ops group or team, and it's on site or like short courses, and then there's workplace assessment. So when I started last year, I was workplace assess, and now, so that means we would spend like 2.5 weeks out on the road. That's kind of like max we would do, and that's like 5 times a year. So we'd pack up, we'd go, each run is kind of 6 or 7 stations depending on like where it is, and you might spend two to three days at each place, depending on how many students you have. So I had 15 at Rosewood last year, which was massive, and then I only had 2 at Argyle. So it just totally depends on where it is and what place it is, if they've got one camp or two camps, or kind of how that rolls.
And when you say camp, what do you mean for those who don't know? Very Northern Territory terminology.
No, yeah, it is. So most places will run either just like a breeder camp or bush camp, and that's like they'll just do everything. So they do their breeder cattle, their sale cattle, and their weaners. Then some bigger places will have like breeder or bush camp and then weaner camp.
And so what does a bush camp do?
So bush camp does all the breeding, like all the breeder cattle.
And musters them?
Musters, drafts, pulls weaners off, and then we'll usually truck weaners back to their weaner yards, which for a lot of places is their house yards. And then weaner crew will take over, and they'll brand their weaners. So yeah, educate them, put them through the yards.
When you say tailing the weaners, what do you...
So tailing literally sounds like what it is, tailing them along. So a lot of it's done with, we use a lot of horses and dogs up here, kind of again pending on the place, and everyone's kind of program, so to speak, is different in the way they do it. But a lot of it will kind of base on putting them through the yards a little bit first, get them used to the flow of things so they know how to work through the yards, and they're working through them steady and as low stress as we can, and then getting on horses and doing the same but on horses after you've done it on foot. So pushing them around the yards and then taking them out to coolers and holding paddocks, and then eventually like taking them out and usually feeding them out and then bringing them back in. So they get used to your pressure and release and getting used to like what it is to be mustered. So yeah, when they're 5 or 6 year old cow, they look at a horse when we want to bring them in and they're not like, "Holy shit, what is that?" They've had that education at a younger age, and they're like, if we go and put pressure on them to push them into a mob and bring them in during first round or something, they're hopefully not going to freak out and run away from us.
So yeah, it's an interesting picture to paint for somebody who's never been to the Territory, but it is so extensive.
Yeah.
Like, how many times a year would the average station see their cattle?
Twice.
Yeah.
If that. So like, you either do first, like most places do first and second round, so one round and then have a bit of a break in the middle, which is right now pretty well for a lot of places, and then go through and do a second round. So
second round being then mustering again.
Yeah, yeah. So muster once, pull your weaners off, and then brand your bubby calves or like your bush calves and put them back with mum, anything that's too small to wean. And then in your second round when you muster them again, your hopes is to then take off what you put back as calves if they're big enough, obviously, to then do that. So you take off like a second lot of wieners and go through the whole process again.
Yeah, and then they go into the wiener camp where they're getting learned to quieten down because you're not seeing them much.
No.
It's really important to lay those foundations, I suppose.
And especially since, like, we do so much, like, intensive work with them over that period of time, and then they get bushed and we don't see them over the wet season for so long, and then we bring them back in and expect them to just be like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. That's a human and a horse. I'll act totally fine. So I think that education is really important from the start to give them a good foundation, because if you don't give them a good foundation, it gives you an absolute headache when they're cows and you're trying to muster them in later on.
And what was your role when you first moved up here? What camp were you in?
So we only had one camp. Yeah. So when I was at Argyle, we just had the one camp. So we did everything, but we were a little bit different again. So we weren't a breeder block. We just backgrounded for a few of the other companies' places. So they would send their male cattle to us and we would basically induct them, and then we'd put them out on the lake and we'd fatten them up and then we'd send them export. So we actually didn't deal with any breeder cattle, so to speak. We had a few heifers that got chucked there, but it was all Mickeys. So basically that means they're not cut, they've got their bulls. We didn't have any steers. They do steers now, but it was all uncut Mickeys when I was there. And yeah, we'd get them sent usually from Avern and Newry, and then they'd stay at Argyle, and yeah, we'd export them a bit out of, mainly out of Wyndham at that point.
Because I think I've been trying to paint the picture while I'm up here of how important the live export industry is to Northern Australia.
So
but
important.
I just don't know if I can put it into words. Like, we're sitting here right now surrounded by 1,000 station hands who wouldn't have jobs if it weren't for the live export industry. So it's interesting. I don't know how to define it. Could you?
I think it's I honestly struggle too, but I think it's like a real, like, filter effect too. It's not just one group of people that are affected. Like, it's the whole industry, but it's like this person, and then because of that, then this person is affected, and then that person is affected, and then it kind of just, like, it filters down through the chain. It's not just like a direct kind of one person or one direct, like, avenue. Is it's like the whole industry in some sense. Even if you're not, like, we've got a lot of places down the Barkly that don't necessarily send a lot to export. A lot of them go to our domestic market into feedlots, but still for them, like, they do send export too. But if it was, it would change the whole, like, way that we function up here.
Now, going back to your role as a lecturer at CDU, with so many young people coming up through the industry, I suppose it's really important what you do, ensuring that we have the skills to ensure that the cattle industry is where it should be at.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure. I think it's really exciting though. Like, I know all of us, like, I can speak for all of us that work there, and we take a lot of pride in doing things the right way, and ethics and welfare is, like, number one on the top of our what we teach. And I think, you know, it's important to show people the right way to do things and show that we have an amazing welfare standard, which we do. And just to be able to teach these young kids that it is a really cool industry to be really proud of, and it's not just like a day-to-day job, which, well, like, it is, but I think I love watching how, like, involved they get and how they're like, oh, like, what's this, or, like, you know, kind of just like giving them the extra information back to why they're doing what they're doing, which I think sometimes can be forgotten about, which is so fair, because I head stockman everything and I can speak, like, you're so busy some days you totally forget to actually kind of tell the why a little bit sometimes behind it all. So I think it's really great in our sense, because that's literally our role, is to come and take a bit of that pressure off.
It's an example of that.
Vaccines is a major one, so it's kind of like, well, what are you vaccinating for? Like, why are we doing this? Like, you know, everyone kind of just, like, read the bottle, what's the correct dose rate, but, like, why is it important to give the correct dose rate? Like, what happens if we overdose or underdose, and, you know, things like that. I think just being able to give them that little bit more information to be like, okay, well, yeah, we're vaccinating, but, you know, what is the disease like? Is it for botulism? What is it for? I think that's really cool to give them that bit of background information, and then they feel great about it too, because then they can be like, oh, well, this is what I'm doing, and this is like what the disease is, and, you know, they pick up a 5-in-1, and they're actually like, oh, I know what the 5 diseases that this is covering for. And so it's been like, oh yeah, I'm vaccinating this, and I know that, like, you know, breeder cattle get this, or weaners get this. You can actually, you know, they can tell you what it is and why it is, and like what's the importance.
Yeah, I would say in summary, like, your job is like laying the foundations of the next generation of like people in the territory.
Yeah, it's definitely like, we obviously do it in par with our head stockmen and our managers and everyone there, but I think it is a really cool, more so like the fact, and look, I come from someone who I did not want to be at school. Like, school was the last place I wanted to be. Learning and doing anything like that was not my forte. But I think the way that we deliver it, because we go out there and we work with them, and we're not just there being like, do your theory and do this and that's done. Like, if they're branding, I'm branding with them. If they're mustering, I'm mustering with them. So I think because it's done so hands-on with them like that, I think that's where, like, the novelty and the uniqueness of it comes into it compared to, like, any other.
And so why would you say it's important, your role in the Northern Territory pastoral industry?
I think it's very, like I said before, like, it's your head stockman and your managers are so busy and have to, like, we all wear so many hats, like, that I come back to, like, it's not just, like, one thing, but I think it's important to kind of show that. And I think as well, like, from a parent's perspective, being down, if you're down south and you've got a kid that has finished year 12 and they've gone up and done their gap year, to show that it's not just like, you know, we're not just chasing cows, like, they're actually learning and there is education and there's pathways that you can do, and also showing that it doesn't just have to be the old school, like, go to uni and actually be on campus and do a 9-to-5 and whatever. Like, there's so many cool ways of learning now, yeah, and doing that. I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And like, as you say, like, delivering it to a variety of people, the reality is you've got hundreds and hundreds of young people here who aren't going to all thrive in that school, that classroom environment. So we're sitting here surrounded by thousands of young people. What would be your advice to someone just starting out?
Oh wow, don't be scared. I know that's so cliche, but like, don't be scared to make mistakes, and don't be scared to do the, just kind of go for it. I think trust in the process. I think you can so much be like, oh, like, what am I doing, and this is really scary, and where am I going to be for this? And yeah, just like, trust in the process, and I think it eventually happens. I think everyone gets too kind of stressed up and like, well, what's my next step and what's this and like, what do I need to do? And honestly, if it is, it's just like, make mistakes, ask so many questions, learn from so many people. I'm still learning, we're all still learning, like, you don't stop learning. And just, yeah, trust in the process, because it does happen and you get to where you want to be. And like we said before, like, with breakups and that, like, sometimes those things, even though they don't seem like they're kind of on your side at the time, I can promise you, it's like, it actually, that little, it might feel like a little kick in the face or a little brick wall, but it's kind of stopping you and directing you into that pathway that you're gonna be in and like, you need to be in.
And what would you say, what's your why? Why do you get up in the morning? Why are you so passionate about this industry?
Certain people, one standing right over there actually. Yeah, definitely people, and yeah, the animals. I love my animals, that's a major thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just the community, like, you know, it's absolutely amazing the connections you make. Like, these guys that I'm with there have become my NT parents. I think it's those people and family, like, yeah, family in inverted commas, that you make that kind of keep you, like, keep you going. And the work itself is so rewarding. Like, you're doing such hard days, but you look at it at the end of the day, and yeah, I always explain it in Back to Our Wiener Tailing, because I love that so much. Like, it's so rewarding when you take, like, a mob of fresh wieners and they're like flighty when you first get them and they're stir crazy, and they, you know, you can take one step and they ping off you, and then you do a few days work breaking them in and tailing them, and they're so beautiful and they're so quiet, and that is so rewarding at the end of the day. Like, being able to show that your efforts have been able to change that.
Yeah,
I love it.
And I want to touch on it before we finish up. So you're obviously into your horses.
Yeah.
Has that been a lifelong thing for you?
It has, actually. It's kind of... So, yeah, I started riding when I was little and then just kind of, like, bummed around a bit just doing, like, a bit of ranch sorting and, like, pony club and stuff when I was young. And then it really kind of took on when I moved... when I moved to Catherine and I met Warren and Linda. So they have been, like, a massive kind of helping hand into, like, flourishing that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've kind of always been around. So, yeah, back when I did my vet nursing as well, I went and did my, like, I did it with horses. So they've definitely been, they're my whole life and I love them. They're probably up there with my favourite animal.
Yeah. And what was it like just, you know, because did you camp draft back down south at home?
A little bit, yeah, and ranch sorted.
So okay.
Slightly different.
Yeah, because how was it going from, like, riding your whole life but still coming up into this environment? Because they're...
Totally different.
Yeah.
It's like you think, like, I thought I was, like, able to do things and you come here and you're like, oh, my God. You're like, this is so far from what I knew and what I thought was, like, I was able to do. And it's just a whole different type of riding and a whole different type of, like... knowledge into, you know, we're dealing with a couple of hundred head of cattle at max down south, if that, depending on where you are. And up here you're, you know, we had a mob of 3,000 the other day, which is half branded, half clean skin. And so it's just like, it's wild. And so your horsemanship skills are totally different because you're dealing with such different environment and such different cattle. But yeah, it was very eye-opening when I first got up here, that's for sure. My first year I was like, I know nothing compared to what I thought I did. And yeah, so it's been a big educational, like,
I suppose it's a great process. Like, point though, like, for someone, it would be so intimidating moving up here for your first year and then the realization, wow, what I thought I know, you know, I need to know more. And that, you know, a lot of people I would say would be scared by and that. Yeah, so you have to be brave, I suppose.
And I think that kind of, yeah, goes back to me on, like, you ask, like, advice and that. It's that, yes, it is scary, and yes, I think there's, like, but don't let the fact that you think that you might not know things stop you, because we were all the exact same.
Yeah.
Like, for the percentage of people that grew up in this industry to the percentage of people that got up here is way higher.
Yeah.
Like, it's built off of people that moved up here, and we all started at the ground at level zero, and, you know, we've worked our way up, or we've worked our way into what we're doing, and that's just, like I said, from asking so many questions and learning from as many people as you can, because you learn so many valuable lessons from anyone, even if it's not what not to do. And that's something I really learned the past couple of years. It's like, you might not learn a positive, but you could learn a negative, and that's equally as important.
And is that to go with, like, leadership as well as, say, like, you know, livestock husbandry, like, both?
100%.
Yeah.
I think it's in, yeah, like, what not to do and what to do with your cattle, and also how to... not, like, necessarily, like, treat your staff, but, yeah, how to deal with your staff and how to deal with your camp and how to have those leadership skills.
Well, what do you think makes a good leader?
I think someone that can be understanding and to listen. I think it's really important to acknowledge everyone's opinion and their ideas, because you never know, someone might have a pretty cool idea. I don't think just because someone's a first year, and I'm going to say that in inverted commas, doesn't mean that they don't have an idea that's actually quite cool. I think there's a lot of stigma around, like, first, second, third, that kind of analogy up here. Like, it's, you know, years do define experience to a degree, but I also think that it's kind of the person and where they've been. But yeah, definitely just having those skills to be able to talk to your crew, and also, but then be stern in that sense too. Like, you need to be able to, like, be like, righto, this is what's going on and this is what's happening, but in a way that's not, like, nasty or anything is really important. It's hard to describe, but I think it's just about being understanding to your crew and talking to them and getting that respect, which I think can sometimes be hard. But I think that just comes from, yeah, being open and honest and having those conversations with them. Definitely.
That's good. Now, is there anything you want to add? Any other, you know, points you think the world needs to know?
I think it's for anyone that kind of thinks, oh, like, I can't do that. There's so many job roles and there's so many things, and you don't just have to do one thing. Like, I spend most of my time with CDU, and then partial time vet nursing, like doing a few days when I can, still at the clinic in town, and then doing like with my horses drafting, or I've been down contracting like a little bit on my time off, and like, so you can literally do whatever you want, and there's so many cool ways. It's there's not just like one job, like there are so many jobs in ag, and I think that's what makes it so special. Like there's so many direct and indirect jobs. I think just like opening that up to the like people that are kind of like, oh, all you can be is a farmer. Yeah. And there's not, like you have hundreds and hundreds of really cool jobs that you can do, and just like trusting in like what you want to, like what you want to do, trust in the process.
Thank you, Bella, for your time. Some incredible words of advice there. The Livestock Collective is a not-for-profit aimed at providing information and capacity building within the supply chain. Our education projects include our website, social media, and attending events across the country. Our capacity building projects include leadership workshops and things like this podcast. If you know someone you want to hear from, send them our way. If you value what the Livestock Collective does, subscribe to us to continue to support the work we do in sharing your story. And if you value advocacy, then please consider investing in us.